The date was 1221. The place was Italy. There was a monk by the name of Francis of Assisi who requested a new rule for the friars when there was a disturbance amongst them. And from that request came what is known as the Rule of 1221. Imagine that. They were really good at naming things back then. The Rule of 1221. Many of us are familiar with a small portion of this rule. Have you ever heard the quote, "Preach the word, and if necessary, use words"? Now, we're familiar with that. This is a great quote. It's a very Franciscan in its spirit. But guess what? It's not a literal quote of St. Francis. It is thought, the thought is a catchy phrasing, and it's has some merit, but is it really true? In chapter 17 of Rule 1221, Francis told the friars not to preach in any church unless they had first received proper permission to do so. But then he added, "Let all the brothers, however, preach by their deeds at all times." So in 2012, someone decided to ask the foremost, the biggest and best Franciscan scholars in the world, "Can you find us the source of this quote? Where is it within the Franciscan writings?" Well, it's clearly not anything that Francis wrote. And after a couple of weeks of searching, no scholar could find this quote in a story written within 200 years of Francis's death. "Preach the word, if necessary, use words." What would Jesus do? We've got all these little catch phrases, all of them that are commonly used, perhaps overly used. They're good to determine if you are active in your faith. But a rule of thumb to determine if you are filled with the Spirit, if it looks and it sounds like Jesus, then that's the Spirit at work within you. You see, the Spirit convicts us, makes us antsy, it makes us restless, it makes us unable to find peace until we confess and change our behavior. Our lives need to be transformed so that we begin to bear spiritual fruit. And Paul gives us that list of spiritual fruit in Galatians chapter 5, and it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." And last week we added to the fruit of thanksgiving to that list. And the amazing thing about all of this is that of these fruits is that all of these fruits, they're action words. They're all action words. Words that when we are filled, spirit-filled believers, we can and should live them out in our daily lives. If you are a spirit-filled, then your life actions and thoughts and your words and your deeds should resemble the fruit. The love, the joy, the peace, the of Christ acts and how he reacts with patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control towards others and towards God. There's nothing mystical in recognizing the infilling of the Holy Spirit. A believer's life reflects Jesus when it's all summed up in the qualities listed in the fruit. In fact, this fruit must be the attitude and the actions of every believer. It is these fruit that we have in our lives that have helped us as we get into our gifts. We must understand that every aspect of our lives needs to have and be filtered through the fruit. Do you understand that? Everything we say, everything we do needs to be filtered through love, joy, peace, patience, and all the rest of them. All of it has to be filtered through that. And I think that one of the most misunderstood and mixed up concepts when it comes to today's topic is when we mix up talent and gifts. Now, some teach that natural talents are our spiritual gifts. Some teach that these natural talents, they make up our spiritual gifts. That is something that is taught by a fair number of pastors and even scholars. But I'm not sure that it's actually biblical. And here is why. There are similarities between the two, and there's differences between talents and spiritual gifts. Both are gifts from God. Both grow in effectiveness with use. Both are intended to be used on behalf of others, not for selfish purposes. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Essentially, it's saying that spiritual gifts are given to benefit not ourselves, but others. As the two great commandments deal with loving God and loving others, it follows that one should use our talents for these purposes. But to whom and when talents and spiritual gifts are given differs. You see, a person, regardless of his belief in God or in Christ, is given a natural talent as a result of a combination of genetics and surroundings. Some of us have natural abilities in music, in art, in mathematics, while others who put in the work and who have grown up in a musical family will develop a talent for music. Do you understand what I'm saying with natural talents? Some of us just are good at it. Some of us grow up in a household where we're taught it and we learn it and we develop it. Those are talents. Spiritual gifts are given to all believers by the Holy Spirit at the time they place their faith in Christ. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit gives to the new believer that spiritual gift or gifts that he desires the believer to have. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Paul gives a list of gifts in Romans chapter 12. He lists the spiritual gifts as follows: to be prophecy, serving others in a general sense, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, and showing mercy. He writes a second list in 1 Corinthians 12 and lists the gifts of the words of wisdom, of the words of knowledge, of faith, of working miracles, of prophecy, discernment, of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then he gives us a third list in Ephesians chapter 4, which speaks of God giving his church apostles and prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. There is also a question as to how many spiritual gifts there are, as no two lists seem to have the same numbers and the same words on them. It's also possible that the Bible lists are not exhaustive. There are additional spiritual gifts beyond the ones that the Bible mentions, according to some. Some say that the gifts that are listed, some of them aren't here anymore. Some of them are. We're going to look at all of these things, but not today. We're going to spend the next weeks, several weeks looking at these. And while a person may develop his talent and later direct his profession or hobby along those lines, spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit for the building up of Christ's church. In that, all Christians are gifted, and so they can contribute to the cause of Christ out of gratitude for all that he has done for them. And in doing so, they also find fulfillment in life through their labor for Christ. So to summarize the difference between a spiritual gift and a talent, I want to say first and foremost, a talent is the result of genetics and or training, while a spiritual gift is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, a talent can be possessed by anyone, while spiritual gifts are only possessed by believers. And third, while both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for God's glory and to minister to others, spiritual gifts are focused on these tasks, while talents, they can be used entirely for non-spiritual purposes. To the best of my knowledge, there is no spiritual gift that has to do with sports. But there's a lot of natural talent that has to do with sports. I wish I could spend the time to explain that one using basketball. There's a couple of basketball players that we could list off that have natural talent, and they're superstars. And then there's a couple of them, well, they just don't have talent. They just put in the work and they work hard. Sorry, Solomon, but that guy is on your team. But he's also a superstar. But he works hard. But he has no real natural talent at basketball. But you can't teach height. So anyways, when we approach the topic from this premise, it helps you to discover your own spiritual gifts. If you can distinguish between these two, what is a talent and what is a spiritual gift, recognizing the difference between these two can be one of the main keys to finding your spiritual gift that God has given you. So let's take a closer look at talents. A talent or a natural ability. A natural ability may be something that you're born with. The physical coordination, or maybe it is a talent that you have developed through years, such as playing a musical instrument. God bless my parents. They wanted me to play the piano because I like to sit down at a piano and hit the keys when I was a kid, because I think every kid likes to do that. Well, here's something that makes noise. Let's make noise with it. 4 years of piano lessons, and I finally passed grade one. And my music teacher said to my parents, perhaps this is not his thing. Find something different. 3 different music teachers, by the way. It's not my gift. All of my musical talent I gave to my son, Silas. He took it all. Mine is now limited to the play button on the radio. But as we develop these things, we can develop them. As an adult, I believe I could learn to play the piano. I believe I could do it. If I put my mind to it and set my mind to it, I could do this. But talents are worked for and through education, through training, through diligence. Yo-Yo Ma is one of the greatest cellists. He has tremendous talent. He practices thousands of hours on his cello to become the greatest musician. And great musicians, artists, and athletes, they have spent hours upon hours training in their field to become who they are. They may have some natural abilities in that as well. But these natural abilities or talents may be useful But they deal primarily with the surfaces of life. The reality of one's relationship to God is left untouched with natural talent. You can use your natural talents to enhance your relationship with God. Don't get me wrong. But abilities and talents influence people on earthly basis, not on an eternal basis. And spiritual growth isn't necessary for your natural talents development. A person who frequently opens their home for dinner guests and social gatherings. Now, we may say that person has the gift of hospitality. Why not? But I say they don't necessarily need to have it. Because spiritual gifts differ from natural abilities in two important aspects. The first is the motivation for the gift. Is it based upon love for God and our love for humanity? Self-glory or gain can never be the incentive. If your dinner party is to show off something that you have or something that you've done, then it's about you and not about bringing glory to God. If I want to show off the beauty of my house or the talent of my cooking and I have a big dinner party for it, that's about me. But Paul tells us that one's communication, one's knowledge, one's faith might be perfect, but they are sometimes worthless when love doesn't motivate it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong. The second is the goal of the spiritual gift. It differs from that of natural abilities. Spiritual gifts are granted for the common good and to equip the saints for the work and the ministry, for the building up of the body. All of this is simply summarized up by the goal is the glory of God. We must keep this in mind, this motivation and this goal as we seek to discover your gifts. Ask yourself, what is my motivation and goal in this area? Remind yourself that these gifts form the basis for your service, for God and His glory. I'll say this, hardly anyone ever discovers their gifts at the beginning of their Christian experience and walk. A period of time or a special set of circumstances may be required to bring your gift to light. Be willing to try your hand at new areas. Your spiritual gifts can be confirmed only in the actual setting in which they were put or where they're intended to be put to use. There are specific spiritual gifts that are given to believers by the Holy Spirit. And many believers differ as to their acquiring, their importance, and their application of these gifts. And there are three main passages that relate to these spiritual gifts. And the references are found in Romans 12, as I mentioned, Ephesians, and 1 Corinthians. But the passage that best summarizes the spiritual gifts is in 1 Corinthians 12. It says this, Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then in verse 11, Paul says, and all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He gives to each one just as He determines. You see, Paul clearly states that each believer is given a spiritual gift. So if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have also received the Spirit, and therefore you have received a spiritual gift. The problem is that many of us have ignored or misunderstood these gifts and have not sought or desired to know how to use them. Peter writes something similar. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. Gifts are given, they're not earned. Scripture tells us that it is through the power of the Spirit that we are enabled to use our gifts. Acts chapter 2 tells us of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The apostles were not educated men for the most part. However, on that day of Pentecost, each of them began speaking in a foreign language, and it says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It was absolutely amazing that these men were speaking these foreign tongues. The other possible spiritual occurrence is the fact that the individuals could hear what was being said in their own language. And the crowd must have been absolutely enormous. It was in the thousands, and yet they could hear the message in their own language. Just picture, we're less than 100 people here today. But I'm going to get the people in the front row here, the three of you. I'm going to get three Thiessen boys, and I'm going to get, let's pick on Scott and Holly and Lynn, and three people over here, three of the Schneiders. I want three of the, I want you to all start talking. I don't care what you talk about. Ready? Go. Just start talking about anything. Go. I can't hear you. Speak louder. Keep talking. Okay, stop. Does anybody have any clue what was just said? 12 men began to speak, and yet people heard clearly. And we're in a room of 100, yet they had over 3,000 people heard. That's a miracle. That's an absolute amazing thing, right? But I also want you to know that on this day, as they spoke in tongues, they did it on that day. But go ahead and look through the rest of the scriptures, and you'll find there's little to no mention of them doing it again. That gift was given for that day. They may have had it for the rest of their life, but there's no mention of them ever using it again. So it's my conclusion that it was a specific gift giving for that one event as the Holy Spirit desired. But we must understand that the purpose of these spiritual gifts was to serve others. Paul says that they are for the common good. Peter simply states that they're used for serving others. This would agree with the words of Jesus when he said, "I have not come to be served, but to serve others." If the Holy Spirit's purpose is to glorify Christ, it follows that the gifts of the Spirit will help us carry out the life and the works of Christ as we live them. And I want to close this morning with a number of questions for each of us to consider this week. Do my actions resemble the person and the work of Jesus Christ? Because spiritual gifts are for carrying out the work of our Lord. The Spirit does not bring glory to himself, but to Jesus. Do my actions and my words benefit the people of God? Is it helpful or is it divisive in the church? Because spiritual gifts are for the building up of the body of Christ. if they are doing something that is hurting others, as well as causing division in the church, it is almost guaranteed that it is not of the Holy Spirit at work. There are exceptions, but they're called corrections, and those are just hard. But they're for the building up, not division. Do my actions bring glory or profit to myself? It's easy to pick on TV evangelists in this regard. There are many who do it for the fame and for the fortune. But what about each of us? When we serve, are we looking for recognition? Are we looking for praise? Would we serve if we never got that? Do my actions come from love? This is a hard one. 1 Corinthians 13 is not just a chapter read at weddings. In fact, it has very little to do with marriage. I mean, it has to do with love, but it's not the only thing that you can learn about marriage. But it's the motivation behind the use of spiritual gifts. Paul states that in that chapter that that love is the most excellent way. Our use of spiritual gifts should be because we love to serve others. John 3:16 tells us God's motivation in sending his son. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. How much greater would our testimony be and our ministry be if everything we did was motivated by love? Have you ever heard of the famous oil field, the Yates Field? Anyone? No? Well, let me tell you about it. It's in Texas. It is called the Yates Field, or the Yates Pool. And during the Great Depression in the 1930s, this field was a sheep ranch owned by a man named Ira Yates. Ira couldn't pay the bills, and so he had to take out loans to make enough money to ranch his operation, to pay the principal and the interest and the mortgage and all these things. He was dangerous of losing his ranch. And so with little money for clothing, for food, for his family, like many others, he did what he tried to do in the Depression. He had to live on government subsidies. And then he decided, maybe I should try drilling for oil. Why not? At 1,115 feet, he struck oil, a huge oil reserve. Now, the first well came in at about 80,000 barrels a day. Translated in today's market, he's making approximately $7 million a day from that first well. There are hundreds of wells on that property. This is only the beginning. The oil field is the largest in the United States of America. It has produced roughly 1 billion barrels of oil to date. And they estimate there's still another 1.5 billion barrels in the ground. You see, the day that Yates purchased the ranch, he very likely was more interested in grazing land than for his sheep than he was in the oil and the mineral rights, which were a part of the purchase. He was living on government subsidy, sitting on this mammoth underground lake of incredible value. He was a potential multi-billion gazillionaire. Right? I don't even know how, you know. And yet he was living in poverty. How many frustrated, defeated, fruitless Christians are living in spiritual poverty today, not knowing of the vast resources of God available to them. Could it be that you are one of those people? Do you find yourself suffering and wasting away in spiritual poverty? All we need to do is to tap into God and His resources of the Spirit. He has gifted us, each and every one of us as believers. The wonderful truth is that every Christian has the potential. And over the next several weeks, we're going to learn more about these gifts of the Spirit. But remember, we must take all that we do, filter it through the fruit. So don't forget what we've just learned. Filter our lives through the fruit so that we can use these gifts to bring glory to God as we discover that our individual gifts, remember that we all have a gift and we need to use that gift. Are you ready? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, You are such an amazing God. You have provided for us everything that we will ever need. And You provide it in abundance. Father, I pray that we would not be a group of men and women who believe in You but are spiritually impoverished. May we understand the richness of Your grace. May we understand the potential of serving You through Your power, the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. May we understand who You are. May we desire to serve You out of love, a love for You and a love for those around us. Change our hearts today, O Lord. Fill us with that desire to serve You, not for our own recognition, but for Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.